Our problem is that at times Christ is not exalted in our hearts as the sovereign over everything, as in control of everything. We go through this life as though things are falling apart, but Christ is in control. He holds all things together. And if He is your God, He will lead you. He will protect you. He will lead you to what He wants you to do. He's faithful.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today's message focuses in on an aspect of Jesus that most of us rarely stop to think about. Yet it's the key to us truly understanding whom we serve.
Dave, that's really true. And the aspect that you're referring to is His name. Now, as we'll see from today's passage in the second chapter of Philippians, when we say His name, we're not referring to the name of Jesus. It's actually another name. And that name provides the answer to why we are to honor Him and how we are to worship Him. It's a wonderful study into the little-known truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have a Bible handy, turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 9 through 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Therefore, also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Here we have the earthly humility of Christ in contrast, in a sense, with the heavenly exaltation, after death and His resurrection. Now, as we begin our passage, we need to see the connections with what has gone on here. Notice it says here in verse 9, we have the term, therefore also. Those are two Greek conjunctions, dio and kai. They're put together, and you could kind of say it this way, for this obvious reason, God did what? God the Father in context, highly exalted in the same context, Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Therefore also, for this obvious reason, and what's the obvious reason? The obvious reason is His humility and obedience unto death. The obvious reason is Him taking on a form of a bondservant. The obvious reason is Him not seeing His equality with God a thing to be grasped, but obeying to the point of death, even death on a cross. The obvious reason is humility. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich. God the Son, who existed in the very form of God, took on the form of a servant, became like us, and He was obedient to the point of death. God the Father loved us so much, He sent His only begotten Son. And see how great a love we have that we should be called children of God. He would do this for us. He demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Paul wants us to see, inspired by the Spirit of God, Christ's supreme example. It is only through humility that one is exalted, and genuine biblical humility, thinking like Jesus Christ. No one is ever going to be exalted apart from Christ manifest in them, thinking like Christ. Paul is commanding believers to have the mind of Christ, to see others as more supreme, to humbly lower oneself, to obediently serve God and His people. That's humility. And Jesus showed us that example, that for His followers and for us, that the way up is down. We'll see a lot of other passages on that later on. We're to humble ourselves before His mighty hand, that He would exalt us at the proper time. And I believe we're going to see that proper times after we die. So in our passage, we have His exaltation. Now we get some tremendous truth about the person of Jesus Christ. Some tremendous truth in verse 9, where we see His rightful exaltation. Therefore also, or for this obvious reason, God highly exalted Him. We have God the Father highly exalting Jesus Christ the Son. Now, for those of you who may have been influenced by the oneness Pentecostal cult, the reality is, in Scripture, Jesus is not the Father. The Father is not Jesus. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead. God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. But yet God has revealed himself in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do I understand it? No, but do I believe it? You bet I do. And so here we have God the Father highly exalting God the Son, Jesus Christ, because of his great humility in being a servant and dying for our sins, being obedient to the point of death. So here we see that Christ did not exalt himself, but the Father exalted him. Christ didn't exalt himself. Even in his exaltation, he didn't exalt himself. He didn't rise from the dead and zoom to the top and take his place. Rightfully, he could have. The Father exalted him. Therefore, God highly exalted him. Now, this term highly exalt speaks of status. It means to exalt highly, okay? It means to supremely exalt. And it would speak of putting someone in the most important position there is. The top position. The most important position of honor and power. It was not just that God the Father exalted Jesus, but he highly exalted him. He put him in the highest place there is. Because Christ had gone to the lowest place. He had become like us. What humility. He had humbled himself. He didn't even use his deity on his own prerogative. He trusted the Father. He humbled himself. He became poor that we might become rich. And therefore God highly exalted him, put him in the place, the highest position of authority and power after he died for our sins and rose from the dead. Indeed, the scriptures reveal that after the incarnation, Christ was exalted to the position of glory and honor that only God, as we will see, deserves. But yet there's one difference. Before the incarnation, God the Son was in the most powerful position of honor as God. And now after the incarnation, he is in the most powerful position, but he is also man, fully God and fully man forever. Therefore, the God-man, Jesus Christ, was highly exalted. There were a few scriptures, and I can't share them all, that prophesied this truth in the Old Testament. Turn to Psalm 110. I'm just going to read verse 1. A Psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Sit at my right hand. Now keep that in mind and go to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52 verse 13. Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and what? Greatly exalted. Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Thus he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths on account of him. For what had not been told them, they will see, and what they had not heard, they will understand. He says he will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. Well, what is the place of his exaltation right now? Where is he exalted to? Turn the New Testament to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. We see, first of all, in verse 14 in Hebrews 4, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And then go up to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. We sing that song, Be Exalted, O God, right? Exalted above the heavens. Now go back to chapter 1 of Hebrews and look at the first verse. Chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. His rightful position. The right hand speaks of the position of authority and power. He is above all. And in Ephesians chapter 1, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wants us to know what are the surpassing greatness of these tremendous truths. And one of them is the surpassing greatness of his power towards those who believe. Verse 19. And he talks about the power of God, the resurrection power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. He says these are in accordance, middle verse 19 of Ephesians 1, with the working of his strength and might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. He highly exalted him, right, after his incarnation, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. He seated him far above everything. And he has put all things into subjection under his feet. And God gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's been exalted supreme over everything. He is the supreme God. He is in the most important place of honor and power. And we see that God did so, that Christ would have first place in everything. We see in Colossians 1:18, in line with what we just read in Ephesians, he also is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That means the preeminent one. So that he might come to have first place in everything. You see, the world doesn't see Jesus right. The world doesn't exalt Christ at all. The world uses his name in vain. The world doesn't care, right? The world doesn't care about Jesus. And one of our problems, at times, Christ is not exalted in our hearts as the sovereign over everything, as in control of everything. We go through this life as though things are falling apart, but Christ is in control. He holds all things together. And if he is your God, he will lead you. He will protect you. He will lead you to what he wants you to do. He's faithful. Yet our problem is he is dethroned in our hearts daily, and we exalt ourselves, making our own decisions and trusting in ourselves rather than trusting in Christ. The same Christ who died for your sins, as we will see, is the great I Am, who is now exalted in the heavens in his rightful place above everything. So we see here that he was highly exalted. Therefore, because of this self-evident reason, because of his humility in dying for our sins, he is highly exalted above everything. Is he highly exalted in your heart above everything? Is Jesus Christ truly Lord in your heart? Is he the Lord? That's what we're going to see. Is he the Lord in your heart? Because he is Lord. He is highly exalted, whether we believe it or not. He is. So within this tremendous truth that he's highly exalted, but also there's some other truths that happened here. Not only was he highly exalted, we have another portion here. And it says in verse 9, therefore also God highly exalted him and did something and bestowed on him, back in Philippians 2, verse 9, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. In super exalting Christ to his rightful place as God, which he always was, but he humbled himself, super exalting him, he also was given the name which is above all names. He is given the name. The term bestowed speaks of graciously or freely granted. There was no reservation in granting this name. Just freely given the name which is above all names. Without reservation, God bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. A name represents people, right? You know, when I think of a name, it represents a person, right? When I think of so-and-so, that name represents them. And now here, this name represents Christ, but it has a meaning to it, as we're going to see. It is the name which is above every name. Well, that leads to the question, what name is above every name? What is the name that is above every name? What is that name that he was granted after he rose from the dead when he was highly exalted? What was that name? Now, if you did a quick reading of the text, you might just say the name is Jesus. And yet, if we study it closely, you might come to a different conclusion. I believe we're going to see it's the name that Jesus possesses, which is Lord. We're going to see that. And I'll show you why. Just about every commentator that looks at this says that's what it is. And that's not simply why we choose so. So we'll look at the text ourselves and determine for ourselves. If we study the text, therefore God highly exalted on him, bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. And again, you say, what a second, it sounds like it's Jesus here. And I would agree with you if we didn't have verse 11, which we're going to look at in a minute. Notice our text says, therefore, because of his obedience to the point of death, God did two things. He highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Now we know the name of Jesus, what that means. The Lord is salvation. You shall name him Jesus. He took that name on when he took on human flesh. God the Son, the Christ, the Messiah, came and took on human flesh. And Joseph and Mary were both told, Matthew 1 and Luke 1, to name him Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. And we see that. So first of all, we see the name of Jesus was given to him, first of all, at the beginning of his humility, not his exaltation. It was already given to him. So here, in our passage, he is bestowing upon him a name. After he's exalted, he highly exalted him and gave him a name. But we know that the name of Jesus was already given to him. What about secondly here? In the text, there's an interesting portion in the Greek grammar that at the name of Jesus, it's in a genitive. What does that mean? Well, simply, genitive speaks of possession. I could say it this way. Name of Bob or Bob's name. Name of Bob or Bob's name, right? And it can take different grammatical elements. Now, if we didn't have verse 11, I would say the name is Jesus, that is highly exalted. But with verse 11, I think it's with another referent here, we're going to see that it's the name that belongs to Jesus. At Bob's name, the name he possesses, they say he's a police officer, right? Something like that. But at the name that Jesus possesses, every knee should bow. And so what is the name that the Lord Jesus possesses? What is the name that he alone holds on to? What is that? As we're going to see, it's the Lord. And you say, I'm a little confused, but let's look at the passage. I think it'll be cleared up. Verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him, bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, or Jesus' name, the name he possesses, that's very clear in the Greek, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. The knee bows to his name, he's Lord. The tongue confesses he's Lord. I believe that's what it's saying, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ was given the name Jesus in the incarnation, but declared to be the Lord at his exaltation, the name above all names. One pastor writes, God not only exalted him, but more specifically, he gave him the name that is above every other name. The term gave means graciously given, and the reference to the name serves not only to function to identify Jesus, but also something about him. It is the name of the Lord that was given to him. Therefore, Jesus enters into ruling functions as God, the name and all that goes with it, and it was not acquired with selfish ambition, but lowly submission. Turn to Acts chapter 2, and we see this in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. See, we're going to see that every knee is going to bow to Jesus the Lord. Every knee is going to bow to, or every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the point, that he's the Lord. Because people give Jesus the name right now and they say, okay, Jesus, who cares? They don't see him as Lord. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up, and I can't read the whole thing. I wish I could for time's sake. You can read back. This Jesus, Acts 2:32, God raised up again, Peter says, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been what? Exalted to the right hand of God. That's what we're seeing, right? And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he poured forth, this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until my enemies make a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the houses of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He was always the Lord and Christ, but when he took on his humility, he did not appear that way. He didn't have it as something to be grasped. He was seen as a man. The God-man. And when he was exalted, the Lord has made him. Not that he wasn't. He has declared that he is both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. So you might be saying, well, what's the big deal about this term Lord? Well, the term Lord comes from the Greek word kurios, and that same word used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament corresponds to the Hebrew word Yahweh. Now, Yahweh has been transliterated Jehovah, and that's where we see it. But Yahweh is simply the verb to be, and it's the first person in the present tense. I am. That's what the term Lord means. I am. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. This is when Moses is wanting to tell the sons of Israel, what am I going to tell them your name is? When he's talking to the Lord at the burning bush. Exodus 3 verse 13. Then Moses said to who? To God. Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Yahweh, that's the word Yahweh. And he said to you, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. The reality is the term Lord speaks of deity. It speaks of God. It speaks of the sovereign privileges of God alone, the Lord of the universe. And Jesus Christ is Lord. He was exalted. Because of his humility, he was exalted, highly exalted, and he was given the name which was above all names, that the name he possesses, that Jesus, this lowly which we saw coming in human flesh and rose from the dead, which he possesses, which is Lord. And as we will see, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, sometimes we can make the mistake of seeing Jesus only as he was during his humility. You know, and we can learn much from the Gospels about his character. We see God in human flesh. But the reality is he had humbled himself. And he is now super exalted back to his rightful place as Lord at the right hand of the Father. And we need to recognize that. We see it, as I mentioned earlier in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty would become rich. John chapter 17, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's praying and he's talking to the Father, and he says this in John chapter 17, verse 5. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory with which we had before the world was. Super exalt me back to where I was in the place of sovereign reign as the God of the universe.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments remaining in today's broadcast, help me understand how to reconcile both the friend and the king aspects of relating to Jesus in my own spiritual walk.
Dave, perhaps the best way for me to answer that question, without diminishing that relational aspect of our relationship with Jesus, I would say that we do well to fear him and respect him and honor him a whole lot more than we do. And this begins with how we refer to him. He is the Almighty Lord of all, and that name Lord identifies him as the supreme ruler of the universe. He is equal with God the Father. The name Lord, or Yahweh, means the great I am. That's the Jesus we serve, love, and honor. Is he a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Absolutely. Is he the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who deserves our utmost devotion and respect? Yes. We'll continue this discussion in our next broadcast, and I hope you'll make plans to join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.